Apple fights a federal court order. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. A U.S. district judge in Los Angeles has ordered Apple to help investigators unlock an iPhone that belonged to one of the San Bernardino shooters. In a message posted early today opposing the order, CEO Tim Cook said it threatens the security of its customers. This development is part of a larger debate about giving law enforcement more access to technology and the encryption that protects it. Marketplace tech host Ben Johnson has more.
The FBI wants access to data on the iPhone 5C that belonged to San Bernardino shooter Syed Farouk, but it hasn't been able to get it because Apple employs pretty strong encryption on phones using newer versions of its mobile operating system. For instance, if you put the wrong passcode 10 consecutive times into the phone, it can auto-erase the phone's data. This court order wants to require Apple to help law enforcement avoid erasing a bunch of valuable information. Generally speaking, the government has been pushing for so-called backdoors or easy access to devices and data. Privacy groups and tech companies have resisted, saying the cost is too high, and not just to civil liberties, but a cost in making private information of users easier for hackers to steal. There's also a fear that U.S. tech companies will make less money because weaker encryption will make their products less desirable abroad.
Marketplace tech host Ben Johnson. Aggressive discounting has paid off for T-Mobile. The country's number three wireless carrier says its profit in the fourth quarter nearly tripled. The company says it's added more than 2 million customers in the quarter. Let's do the numbers. The FT 100 index in London is up about 1.5%. The DAX in Germany up also about 1.7%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up. With all the uncertainty in the global economy right now, the U.S. housing market has been one bright spot. Later this morning, we'll get a snapshot of how home and apartment construction went in January from the Commerce Department. 2015 ended up being a pretty good year for home builders, with building permits up 12% and housing starts up more than 6%. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
We didn't hear this sound much in the Great Recession, nor early in the recovery that followed. But we're hearing lots of residential construction now. Christopher Mayer at Columbia University says it's becoming easier to get a mortgage. Good for first-time home buyers and anyone who lost their home and has now repaired their credit.
Credit is modestly loosening, and before people panic, we're not talking about 2007 standards.
He's talking about the pre-crisis housing bubble when almost anyone could get a loan. Robert Dietz at the National Association of Home Builders predicts a 15% rise in single-family home construction this year. Good for builders, construction workers, and appliance stores. He says there are starting to be shortages of
what we've been calling the three L's: lots, labor, and lending.
Dietz says the lack of skilled construction workers and open land could be a problem going forward. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Banks and other financial institutions are starting to pay more attention to a group of consumers they long ignored: low-income people who don't have the credit cards and bank accounts used to create traditional credit scores. Banks, of course, use those scores to evaluate customers who apply for loans. Now, there's a new way to assess them. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
71-year-old Elena Tucker was doing just fine, living off of Social Security and a pension, paying her bills on time. She owned her house in South L.A. Then, in 2006, her son died, and her 20-year-old grandson moved in, bringing his appetite.
Lord God, they just eat. Oh, my Lord. And if they're in sports, good grief.
Tucker's food, gas, and light bills skyrocketed. She bought her grandson a car. Eventually, she took out a high-interest payday loan for $300. Tucker says at one point,
I had 11 of those doggone things.
Finally, Tucker ended up at her credit union, which, by the way, is where she met us. That's the sound you hear in the background. Tucker's credit union offered her a payday payoff loan, a new type of loan for consumers like Tucker who don't have traditional credit scores.
God bless them. They changed the rules. They made the rules more flexible.
Tucker's credit union evaluated her for the loan with a new tool from LexisNexis Risk Solutions. Ankush Tiwari manages the credit risk division. He says they look for alternative data on consumers, like address history.
Things like a plumber's license or a nurse's license. Education history, so just evidence that someone may have attended some college.
Tiwari estimates there are 53 million Americans who can't get a traditional credit score. He says he could score 40 million of them using that non-traditional data.
It's definitely a profitable market.
That's John Thompson. He's a senior vice president at the Center for Financial Services Innovation, a nonprofit that studies the unbanked. He says these consumers spent more than $116 billion in fees and high interest rates just in 2014. Thompson says that's gotten the bank's attention.
We've seen some interesting innovation around installment lending, new ways to underwrite, new ways to reach consumers.
Like Elena Tucker. Her credit union offered her a second $2,500 loan with a much lower interest rate than her payday loans, which she hopes to pay off by the end of next year. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Donald Trump's appearance on last night's Late Show with Stephen Colbert was apparently a first of sorts. A call from Trump came in on a bright orange telephone draped with a blonde wig. According to The Hill, it was the first ever phone interview on The Late Show since it started with host David Letterman in 1993. As we know here at Marketplace, sometimes it can be really hard to get a guest in person. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.